So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 18, text 46. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dharma Palo Narapati. Satu Samrad Brihachavaha. Sakshan Maha Bhagavato Raja Shir Hayame Dayat Chutrit Shrama Yuto Dino Naivasmach Chapam Arhati. Someone could chant. Machichis.
Thank you.
word for word. Dharma Palaha, the protector of religion. Narapatihi, the king. Saha, he. Two, but. Samrat, emperor. Brihat, highly. Shravaha, celebrated. Sakshat, directly. Mahabhagavata, the first class devotee of the Lord. Raja Rishihi, saint among the royal order. Haya Medayat, great performer of horse sacrifices. Shrut, hunger. Trit, thirst. Shrama Yutaha, tired and fatigued. Dinaha, stricken. Na, never. Eva, thus. Asmat, by us. Shampam, curse. Arhati, deserves. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Emperor Parikshit is a pious king. He is highly celebrated and is a first-class devotee of the personality of Godhead. He is a saint amongst royalty, and he has performed many horse sacrifices. When such a king is tired and fatigued, being stricken with hunger and thirst, he does not all deserve to be cursed. Purport. After explaining the general codes relating to the royal position and asserting that the king can do no wrong and therefore is never to be condemned, the sage Samika wanted to say something about Emperor Parikshit specifically. The specific qualification of Maharaj Parikshit is summarized herein. The king, even calculated as a king only, was most celebrated as a ruler who administered the religious principles of the royal order. In the Shastras, the duties of all castes and orders of society are prescribed. All the qualities of a Kshatriya mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, 1843, were present in the person of the emperor. He was also a great devotee of the Lord and a self-realized soul. Cursing such a king when he was tired and fatigued with hunger and thirst was not at all proper. Shamika Rishi thus admitted from all sides that Maharaj Parikshit was cursed most unjustly, although all the brahmanas were aloof from the incident. Still, by the childish action of a brahmana boy, the whole world situation was changed. Thus Rishi Samika, a brahmana, took responsibility for all deterioration of the good orders of the world. Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Vaskachate Shatarne. So in this purport, it mentions it refers to the qualities of a king. So this is very important. Vedic culture is very important because it elevates people to the position of a human being. Thus, it's the duty of the king to make sure everybody's acting either as a brahmana, a kshatriya, a vaishya, or a sudra. Otherwise, civilization is simply a bunch of two-legged animals, simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And by such activities, they are spoiling their human form of life, missing this opportunity, and thus they'll fall down into lower species of life. So they are simply a bunch of animals. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's been described that those who are not glorifying the Supreme Lord Krishna, they've been described as hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. So how are these people described as such? They're described as hogs because a hog has no discrimination in what to eat and what not to eat. They'll eat any old garbage. In fact, if you offer them some nice foodstuff, if you offer them some nice halava, or if you offer them some nice stool to eat, they prefer to eat the stool. They have no discrimination. And the dog, people have been compared to dogs, especially in the age of Kali, they're becoming more and more like animals. The dog is in a situation where unless it gets a good master, it can't survive. So many people now are encouraged to go to the college, to the universities, get a nice degree, and then look for a good master. Go door to door and beg, "Sir, please employ me. Otherwise, I'll starve." So without a good master, they are simply a bunch of street dogs. And then there's the camels. The camels are simply trying to enjoy sense gratification, simply eating all sorts of rubbish things. Like the camel is known to eat thorny twigs. And the thorny twig, when he eats the thorny twigs and it cuts its tongue, and then the mixture of the blood and the twigs creates some kind of false taste for the camel. So we think this is very nice. So the materialists, their happiness is simply sex life. And by that, they are simply spoiling their own blood. But they think they are happy. So this is their madness. And then there's the example of the ass. The ass is working so hard, day and night, simply for a morsel of grass. But he's so foolish, he doesn't understand that there's grass everywhere growing. He doesn't have to work so hard. In India, they use the asses for carrying all sorts of loads, like clothing and so many different items. And they're loaded up so much, practically they're breaking. But the ass is thinking, unless I work for my master, I won't get any food. He's so unintelligent. So similarly, the workers, the big businessmen, they think they have to work so hard and make millions and millions of dollars, but they can only eat so much. They can only enjoy so much, but they think they have to work so hard. So in this way, they have been compared to the animals. And so these people, they're compared to the animals. They simply live like animals, and they will die like animals, and they will become animals. So even though the actual animals on this planet, they don't engage in any sinful activity. They're completely under control of nature, and they're just working off their bad karma. But if a human being, he thinks he could simply live like an animal, then he has to suffer. He has to suffer by not only getting an animal body in his next life, but he'll have to go to the hellish planets to suffer so many miserable conditions. And even in this life, they have to suffer so many miserable conditions. Just like those who indiscriminately eat anything and everything, like the hogs, then they eat like animals. They kill animals indiscriminately, and by that they have to suffer so many hellish situations. like is mentioned in the Vedas, that if by killing the cow, one has to suffer a hellish birth for every hair on the cow's body. So anybody that's engaged in such activity, they have to suffer. It's not only those who eat the animal, but those who kill the animal, those who cook the animal, those who raise the animals to be slaughtered. They're all responsible. So in this way, they have to suffer. And those who engage in illicit sexual activities, they also have to suffer. Not only in this life, but in the next life. If a man has sexual relations with another man's wife, then he goes to hell. And if a woman has relations with another man besides her husband, she also goes to hell. Both of them go to the hellish planets where they're whipped by whips and they're forced to embrace the hot iron form of a man or a woman. And in this life, they get all sorts of sicknesses. Srila Prabhupada mentions that one drop of semen is worth is produced by 80 drops of blood. And by wasting one's blood, then one's immune system becomes depleted, and one gets so many diseases. In this way, they suffer in so many different ways. So this is a situation of today. There's simply hogs, dogs, and camels, and asses. But Srila Prabhupada mentions that we have to educate them. That's our responsibility, to make a dog a devotee, to make an ass a devotee, to make a camel a devotee, and to make a hog a devotee. That is our responsibility. That is our mission. So the Kshatriya's position in this connection is very important. Actually, the Kshatriya means, the actual meaning of the word Kshatriya is one who protects one from being hurt by others. He's in the body is divided in different parts, the head, the arms, the belly, and the legs. And the Kshatriyas are the arms or the army. They protect one. Just like when something is coming towards one puts up his hands to protect one from harm. So this is a business of the Kshatriya. And he fights for the right cause. It's not this non-violence nonsense. No, he'll come forward whenever there's any opposition, any criminal activity. He comes forward and he deals with it. And it doesn't matter who they are. Like in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna, he had a fight with his own brothers. So whether they're your brothers or your father, your grandfather, when you're Kshatriya, you have to fight. You have to protect others from harm. And you face your enemy head on. You don't run as a coward. It says those who are brave, one of the qualities of Kshatriya is he's brave. So therefore, if he gets hit, he gets the wounds on his chest. And those who get wounds on their backside, they're known as cowards. So the Kshatriya, he engages everybody. Everybody engaged in activity. Because when there's unemployment in society, then everything becomes chaotic. As it is said, an idol's mind is the devil's workshop. So the Kshatriya, he makes sure that everybody is properly engaged according to their nature as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. So he engages everybody, but he has a tendency to lead or rule. But the Kshatriya will not rule over the Brahmanas. They will not do that. The Kshatriyas, they protect the Brahmanas, and the Brahmanas protect the Kshatriyas by giving them instruction. Just like we see when Krishna was on the planet, he was acting sometimes as a Vaishya and sometimes he was acting as a Kshatriya, although he was none of these things. But simply to show by example, he was taking instructions from the Brahmanas. He was taking instruction from Uddhava. He was honoring the Brahmanas, like when Narada Muni came to visit him, he would get off his throne and he would offer his throne to Narada Muni. So in this way, he would obey the Brahmanas. He would listen to their advice. So the Kshatriyas, they're there to protect the people on the material side, and the Brahmanas are there to protect people on the spiritual side. And one else, sometimes also the Kshatriyas, sometimes they were inclined to accept more than one wife. Just like we see Krishna, he accepted 16,108 wives. And so many Kshatriyas, like Krishna's father Vasudeva, he had 16 wives. But this was done not whimsically. Just like sometimes, I know there was talk in our society about some devotees in our society wanted to accept more than one wife. But the basic principle of all this, what Prabhupada mentions, is one has to get permission from his spiritual master. One has to get permission from the Brahmanas. One can't act independently. So whatever one does, how to rule the country, to get married, to have more than one wife, this has to be consulted with the spiritual master, with the Brahmanas, with one's father. One can't do things whimsically. And by doing things whimsically, things will fall apart. That's the problem with the monarchy in the age of Kali. Originally, thousands of years ago, they were listening to the Brahmanas. But when they decided to disobey the Brahmanas, or when the Brahmanas became fallen and their instruction became useless, then everything fell apart. So in Vedic society, you need a head that is intelligent, and you need the Kshatriyas who are able to follow that instruction and to help the people, not simply use the taxes for sense gratification, which is happening in this day and age. So in this way, they would rule the citizens. The Kshatriyas didn't engage in sense gratification. They didn't engage in divorce. Divorce is the occupation of the Sudra class. It's mentioned that the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, or Vaishyas, they don't engage in divorce. It probably mentions even today this is only accepted by the Sudra class. So they control their senses, not as much as a Brahmanas, but they were known as the twice-born. Twice-born means one has a spiritual master, one listens to his instructions, and they were also, as being a twice-born, they did not render menial service, just like the worker class. The worker class, the Sudra class, they would have a boss and they would get money or support, but the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, they wouldn't serve anybody in terms of being a menial servant. They would offer their services in terms of helping other people, but they wouldn't become like they needed a boss. No, but they were independent. And so the Kshatriyas, they would get their maintenance by taxation. So if people would pay taxes, namely like if one was an emperor, would collect taxes from other kings, and also the Vaishyas would give up to 25% of their income to the king, to the Kshatriyas, like that. In this way, there would be taxes. But there was no taxes. The Brahmanas would never give taxes. The kings would never tax the Brahmanas, nor were the Sudras ever taxed because they didn't have any property. So this material world is such a horrible place. And the instruction of this is given by the Brahmanas. That's why they're so important in society. Without the head, one will simply go on with their sense gratification and not think of the higher values of life. So the Brahmanas, they teach us that here in this material world, there is danger at every step. But by approaching the boat at the lotus feet of the Lord, one could cross over this material existence, which is just like a great ocean. And one could attain Param Padam, Vaikuntha, the place where there is no miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. So this is a verse mentioned in the 14th chapter, the 10th canto. So there's danger at every step, just like in the war field. There's danger at every step. Any moment one could be shot. Any moment one could step on a mine and be blown to bits. So there's danger. So any time, any place in this mature world, you could be attacked. Just like we are sitting here, and we think it's a very we're very secure. Of course, with Krishna, that's being the most secure. But still, if there's some kind of disturbance, we're afraid. Like if things start shaking, there's an earthquake, we start running. We start running out. We start doing this or that. So there's danger, and we may walk across a street, and we get hit by a car. Like Srila Prabhupada gave an example of one of his disciples, of one of his god brothers in India. They were simply in the street, and they fell down and in the street and were run over by a car, and all their bones were crushed. They were killed in that way. So any moment, one could be killed. Any moment. And this place is temporary. So this is a mention, the Bhagavad Gita is a temporary place that is full of misery. Any moment we could leave. So people say, okay, I admit that it's full of suffering, but I'll make a compromise with material nature. Let me just stay here. But material nature won't allow it. You have to leave. You have to leave. That's the main thing. You have to leave. It's miserable, and even if you think it's not miserable, you say, I think it's a great thing here, this material world. But still, material nature will say, no, get out and get out now. Any time. You can't plan it. Any second. Maharaj Parikshit, we're reading here, he has 7 days to live. But we don't even know if we have even 7 seconds. We don't even know if we have 7 seconds. But we are thinking we have 7 millions of years. So this is our madness. And this is because we don't hear from the spiritual master. We don't hear from the authorities. Our holes, those who don't hear the transcendental messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their ears are compared to the holes in the paddy field. In the paddy field, the rats, they make holes in there, in the paddy field, and thus they come out and they eat the grains. So the snakes take advantage of this, and they go in the holes, and they eat the rats. So in this way, they live very comfortably. But these holes are simply, they're not holes to hear. They're simply the holes where the snakes are. And those who speak, simply speak nonsense, these snakes, they come out and they hear the frog. The frog's croaking, craw, 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 like that. And the snake comes out and hears the frog and it simply gobbles him up. So those who are simply speaking nonsense, the snake of death will simply come and swallow them. So as is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, the setting and the rising of the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except for one who utilizes the time in discussing the topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So people try to become happy in this material world. Of course, we know that there are different levels of happiness. As explained, Srila Prabhupada explains that like there's different planetary systems. We're in the middle planetary system. But above this planetary system, the planetary system right above us is 1,000 times greater in enjoyment than what we're enjoying here on this planet right now. And the planetary system above that one is 1,000 times even greater than the previous one. So in this way, there's so much so-called happiness in the material world, but still We understand from Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvartinojina Mamupadyata Konte Apurna Janma Navidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. So, we have to understand these things. This becomes possible by approaching Krishna, by approaching the spiritual master, because we have imperfect knowledge, our senses are defective. And with that, with defective senses, with being have imperfections, to commit a tendency to commit mistakes, imperfect senses, to be illusion, to cheat, we can't understand things as they are. But by approaching the spiritual master, one can get perfect knowledge. Other one's knowledge is incomplete and imperfect. But by hearing from Krishna, by hearing from the spiritual master, one can attain perfection, one can attain complete knowledge. So by this complete knowledge, one can become immortal. This is the formula for immortality, to hear from the spiritual master and to apply his instructions. So it's not simply just hearing, but that's winning half the battle. But we have to also follow those instructions, and then by that we will attain success in life. So we have to preach. We have to preach Krishna consciousness by giving people knowledge about Krishna, by distributing books, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, and especially by this system of Varnashrama. Because most people, they can't understand things unless they're properly situated in the human form of life. And to actually, for most people, what this requires is the Varnashrama system. To have a government that properly employs them, make sure that they don't engage in sinful activities. In this way, they get an opportunity to associate with Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. In this way, they can make advancement in spiritual life. So what we are doing now is on a small scale, but if we want to make the whole world Krishna conscious, then we have to introduce this Varnashrama. So we have to do this. Srila Prabhupada mentions, never mind if you're not successful, never mind. We just have to work hard for Krishna, and he will note that down. He will note that down, that we're working hard for him. Our business is to be recognized by Krishna. And as soon as we do this, then we'll be perfect. This will be noted down. We have to do this. We have to simply try our best, and that will be our success in life. Thank you very much. Are there any questions on these points? Yes, back there, in the under. Is that Surya Prabhu? Who is that? That's.
Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for awesome class. I have two questions. One would be, both of them are regarding Varnashram that I know you're an expert of. One would be your comments about the role of Kshatriyas as the managers, meaning they engage others in their service. I have this confusion about that, and the confusion is that, for example, you as a Brahmana, your role as Brahmana, you also engage others in service. Or, let's say, a Vaishya who's a merchant, he has employees who, like, engages them, right? But they are not Kshatriyas. It seems to me that the role of Kshatriya would be more like a protector in terms of, like, let's say, if somebody, like, I'm under your supervision as a Brahmana, and if you abuse me or misuse me, I go to the Kshatriya for protection to say that Rabindranath Prabhu is, like, misusing me. So, so that's one question.
Okay, so let me take that question first. So, yeah, so within different, like, the Brahmanas, they, like, for example, we do with the different artiks for the deities, and we cook for the deities. So the Brahmanas also show other Brahmanas how to cook, how to dress the deities. It's not that the Kshatriyas are engaging in, like, micromanagement like that, but they oversee the whole society in terms of, like, if somebody's claiming to be a Brahmana, but he's acting like a Sudra. Like, let's say he's saying, I'm a Brahmana, but he's not engaging, he's taking intoxication, for example, and but he's doing pujas too. So, you know, like, you may have a Brahmana, like I was doing one puja once, and they wanted, has some family wanted their priest to come over too to help out a little few things. So he just did some, he did a few little things or whatever, but he smelled like wine to me. So we don't, that's not, so the Kshatriyas would check those types of people. They would check those. But as far as the specific management within the Brahmana community or the Vaishya community or the Sudra, even among the Sudras, then they would be helped within members of that community. It's not that the Kshatriya, but he would, as a general rule, he would manage all the society, make sure that they're properly engaged in their occupation and they weren't cheating and they weren't saying one thing and doing another. And what was your other question?
The other question, like, I understand when a Kshatriya has, for example, a closet full of a few dozen suits or drives the fancy car, because these are all facilities that help him in his service. How does having multiple wives, like at least used to like be the case, help a Kshatriya in his service?
How does that help a Kshatriya?
Why does it necessitate to like have multiple wives?
Well, the basic principle in Vedic society that all women should get married. So in this way, he protects the women and takes care of them. Otherwise, what happens in society nowadays is the women are simply being exploited as girlfriends. And this way, they're not becoming Krishna conscious. So in this way, he helps people maintain religious principles. And so that's his duty. So, of course, all these things, they're very much attached to sense gratification also. So that's why it's recommended that, like the Kshatriyas, they would also renounce at a certain age, they would go to the forest and would renounce their activities. It's not like they were engaging in householder life all their lives. No, as we see nowadays, just like the modern politicians, they're in their 70s and then their 80s, and they have their, you know, they still have their family life, and they just go on to the end. But Kshatriya wasn't like that. So, but this was, they're in the mode of passion, so they have their propensity. But if they gauge according to religious principles, then you could be released from that. But if you don't, if you simply engage in sense gratification, which is what's happening in this day and age, you will simply become an animal in your next life and suffer like anything. So this is to actually help society. And this is Krishna's recommendation. And any other questions? Is that Brigapati?
Yes, Ruth, thank you. Mostly I have a comment and a small question. The comment is, thank you very much for an amazing bona fide and prompra class. That's the comment. And the question is, you gave, when you were talking about those who don't use their ears to hear the messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if ear holes, like, and the example you gave it, I just didn't ring a bell. I mean, my memory is that in the Bhagavatam says that they have ear holes like a snake, and then you kind of elaborated upon that.
Yeah, well, Prabhupada also explains about the he talks about that, and then he compares to the the holes in the paddy field too, because I was thinking about that once before, because actually the I heard the snakes also have, you know, they have, I also heard they could hear, and they're, you know, that's why they play music, and you could charm them by music like that. So anyway, Prabhupada also gives that example about the holes. The holes are just are also compared to the holes in the paddy field, like that. So sometimes one example may be given. Anyway, different examples or may have different. What something's presented, there may be different examples.
Okay. Yes. Thank
same
you.
Thing. Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
Yeah. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. How you said that the formula for immortality is to hear from the spiritual master and follow his instructions.
Yes.
But how does that guarantee immortality if we're already immortal as spiritual?
No, because we actually we are immortal. So as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, never was there time and I did not exist, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of these cease to be. So we are actually immortal. This body is temporary. So one may say that I also see that the devotees are also dying. And Prabhupada says that, yes, the body is dying, but they're living forever. So this is simply a temporary situation. And when the devotee dies, he's simply with Krishna, just like lightning and thunder. It's just simultaneous. And just one goes back to home, back to Godhead. So we're actually immortal, but this body is temporary, is mortal, but we're not these bodies. So by hearing from the proper source, one could again attain his actually immortality. Okay? Okay, yes. Want to speak out loud or you know? What's your question?
Yeah. My question is, so we expect him for that level of devotees since he's still alive, so means they decline his position or his position is still okay, or we waiting for those facilities who knows when and why they never acting now. Suppose in LA is when fire, big fire is going on there. Many people they buying, like it or not like it, they must to die. So the same thing, Mother Pavak had been lamenting yesterday for those devotees who they cannot approach to the schedule. Means so it's like Parikshit Maharaj had been just sentenced to death. So now we are with the devotees here, they are brahmanas and this, and then still Rameshwar Prabhu, he's alive. He's giving the example. Yesterday they've been, yes, you know, sorry. And the time when he being alive, so the temple they've been packed. But now even we're giving those facilities, no devotees here. So my question is, so we must work more hard.
So, in other words, we want to work harder to get more people to come to the temple?
Yeah, because you mentioned...
Yeah, that's there, but... Anyway, on our part, we just have to try our best. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, do thou fight for the sake of fighting without considering victory, defeat, loss, or gain, like that. So, Prabhupada mentioned that so many times, like they were talking about book distributions. Some devotees were arguing that they don't think it was good to do book distribution, and other devotees said, yeah, it's good. And Prabhupada said, I never said you had to distribute so many books. I never said so many numbers. But you just have to try, that's all. So that's what Prabhupada wanted. That's what Krishna wants. We simply try our best, just like Hanuman. He lifted a whole mountain, then it was some spider or squirrel, and they were just trying to build a bridge with a few dusts and throwing a few dusts. And Hanuman said, you know, he's not doing anything. And Ramachandra said, he's doing his best. So that's all that matters, that we just try our best. And the success is not our problem, it's Krishna's problem. So if we work in that way, then Krishna notes that, and we'll be satisfied, he'll be satisfied, and we'll go back to home, back to Godhead. Okay, so we could stop there. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga.
You heard the story about the snake and going to the paddy field, right? But you know the rat makes the holes in the paddy field, eats the rice, and then the snake comes in and he eats the rat, and those are the holes, useless holes. I think I got it right in here. I think I got it right in here.